Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jacoby Myers. Looks like Las Vegas is receiving fourth and sixth round picks in exchange for Jacoby, which should give Trevor Lawrence another weapon. Saw this morning, and we mentioned it, Cowboys trading for a linebacker, Logan Wilson, from the Bengals after their 31st ranked defense got handled by Jacoby Brissett last night on Monday Night Football. Ravens have also made a deal with the Titans. It's Draymond Jones. Titans exchange the pass rusher for a conditional fifth-round pick. That's the latest up in terms of today. We're starting to get some bigger ones again with the Sauce Gardner deal. Bears made a little noise getting getting a defensive lineman, an unproven one that was playing more on special teams than he was on defense, from the Cleveland Browns. So that's for us Bears fans that were hoping, hey, man, you got Caleb Williams on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
Like, go out and get something defensively that can make a difference for you right now. You just saw Joe Flacco throw for 470 yards on you off the freaking couch. You know, I mean, guy did it easily. Like, go out and get something. A lot of Bears fans sort of feeling, hey, some anxiety up to this trade deadline. Ryan Poles going to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to sort of mouse move with this one. But you know what? Colts, I can dig it.
It's wild.
They turned the ball over uncharacteristically a ton in that loss to Pittsburgh this weekend, but they have not been doing that. Daniel Jones had gotten away from that. And I know the Steelers did a good job against Jonathan Taylor. But listen, AFC, for as good as the Chiefs have looked at times, and that was up until they ran into that buzzsaw that was Buffalo, that's now starting to look like, you know, hey, it might be headed for another AFC championship game. It's wide open. I mean, you've got the Chargers, you've got Denver, and I just think with the way the Colts are playing, you may as well throw your hat in the ring. You know, with upgrading yourself at cornerback, really going all in here. Two first-round picks seems like a lot for Sauce Gardner, who I don't know if I consider. I got Surtain up at the out of Denver as the top cornerback in the league, but surely, I mean, Sauce's reputation is that of one of the best corners. I just don't know if I've got him as the best, and two first-round picks seems like quite a bit. Colts are certainly all in.
The AFC is bananas because before the season, if you would have asked me, okay, where are we at? I actually thought the Steelers would be good. I really did. But the Patriots and the Colts is bananas to me. Like, I didn't realize Drake May would be this far along, and I certainly didn't think the Colts would be here. Did you?
No, I didn't. And Drake May, I think, has sped up the process. I don't think New England expected necessarily for them to be where they are this quickly. For him to be doing this now
he's
in year
legit.
Two. Yeah, he's playing in a much more consistent way than Caleb is, to where if I'm the Patriots, if I'm anybody in that organization, I'm now a believer. Listen, I mean, there's a lot of people that still believe in Caleb Williams, but he it's still kind of up for debate.
Yep.
You look at what's happening week to week with Ben Johnson, you see the two steps forward, one step back, the other way around, whatever it is. You don't see any of that, back to your point with Drake May. Like, it is a constant progression for him, it feels like, and boy, is he poised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Buffalo's coming now, and we'll see, you know, defensively, we said that KC game plan should have been to run the ball more. They played right into Buffalo's hands. Defensively, can they be that good the rest of the season? I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what, I mean, this Colts team.
Yep, they're good.
They're in a mix of good to solid to good AFC teams that might threaten a KC or a Buffalo up at the top.
Yep.
We'll see, but they're certainly going to try to. When you go in and get a Sauce Gardner, you're doing it because you're expecting to be in the playoffs in the face of Kansas City receiving core that's now, you know, got Rashee Rice back, is fully staffed, and maybe, again, some of those other AFC teams that have got weapons. So
yeah.
I don't mind that at all in terms of the moves. I see what they're doing. I just think, wow, two first-round picks is saying we're here right now is the only thing for the Colts. So it better work out pretty good for them. But it seems like the other than that Pittsburgh loss, the season has worked out pretty good for the Colts. We've got more to do here, third hour. We're going to talk to Frank Bonner, bottom of the hour, about this big Memphis football game against Tulane. We'll do that and a whole lot more in hour number three. You listen to J&J 929 FM ESPN. Mentioned you got an NFL trade deadline happening, and I see Cowboys. We got a lot of Cowboys fans in Memphis, and all of them know they got to improve that defense. Acquiring defensive tackle Quinnen Williams in trade with the Jets is the latest. Now, Quinnen Williams is good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty solid player there. So the action continues hot and heavy. We mentioned Sauce Gardner going to the Colts from the Jets. But this is a pretty big one. Cowboys doing a little bit more now than just a linebacker from, Cincinnati. Now defensive tackle Quinnen Williams is the Jets are on fire sale, sending out Sauce Gardner and now Quinnen Williams. What you get, yeah. And Glenn's going to have a while there. You know, he's a former Jet. He's Mr. Jet, and that's what it indicates to me. I mean, that it's been a mess all year long, but they know it's not just a coaching mess. It's a roster mess and an organizational mess that they've got to do a lot of work in terms of trying to get it fixed. And so they're shipping off, you know, the talented players that they do have right now. It's probably the right move for the Jets, who need a complete overhaul. We're going to talk a little college football here before we have Frank Bonner on from the Daily Memphian, covers Memphis Tigers football, bottom of the hour, around 1:25. I want to do that because tonight we've got the first ranking. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee is going to reveal its first ranking. That will be at 7 tonight on ESPN. And we've talked a lot about Memphis and its spot as sort of right now the favorite out of the group of five to represent the G5 in the College Football Playoff. And we'll get to them. I thought maybe running through ESPN's predictions.
Let's do it.
Of who will be
ranking this
tonight. They break it down by conference, and I like that. I like it that way because, you know, between the SEC and the Big Ten, you're going to have the majority of the playoff teams. And so here's who they've got. The way they've done it is who's in, who would be in. Now, the SEC, it's Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. You made it. Texas A&M, last team in, they've got Ole Miss. Here's what they say. The Rebels are in a safe spot, but they're not a lock if they don't run the table. With remaining games against the Citadel, Florida, and rival Mississippi State, there's no possibility of a good loss remaining. And historically, losing in November has been far more damaging to playoff hopes than losing earlier in the season. Ole Miss shouldn't lose. It has at least a 72% chance of winning each of its remaining games and has the 7th best chance in the country to win out. That's at 43%.
They're going to lose to State this year.
Stop it.
Mississippi State will be Ole Miss.
You don't believe that.
They will keep winning, and that will be Mississippi State's Super Bowl. They're capable. Would you admit that? That's a dangerous team in Starkville. Dangerous.
I will not label them dangerous after the way. I mean, y'all let Texas off the hook.
You had the Texas game.
You let them off the hook.
You had the Florida game and the Texas game. You can just assume. Let's just pretend they won those games.
And Lane has that tape, which he can say, look, if we mess around.
Yes.
You know, thinking whatever, we're just going to win this Egg Bowl going in here with our.
I'm not even trying to say that to like stir emotions or
I'm not being a hype master here.
No, I promise.
This is a gas
I knew
man,
that would come off as hype.
Yeah.
But
I've
been thinking about this a long time, much like those UNLV basketball tickets I purchased.
If a loss to Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl keeps you out this
year, that's
going to
be because that's your Super Bowl.
That
makes your whole season if you're Mississippi State.
Don't you think he can win the whole damn thing?
And I think it's at
Is there any ceiling on Ole Miss this year?
I mean,
defensively, I guess, is the question, but they're absolutely rolling.
This game is, by the
way, he doesn't need to leave.
It is not on Thanksgiving Thursday now. It's on the Friday after. It's at noon on Friday the 28th at Mississippi State. It will be in Starkville this year, Jason Smith.
There you go.
The 28th, you will have Ole Miss go down, and it will blow their college football.
I need you to be down there. First team out of the SEC, they've got Texas as the first one out and still in the mix. Missouri, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt, as we know. Big Ten, they've got three right now. Would be in Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon, with Oregon being the last team in. First out, USC right now, still in the mix. Iowa, Michigan, and Washington. Big 12 is getting two. Would be in right now. BYU, Texas Tech. You agree with that?
BYU and Texas Tech. Texas Tech is in. First team out, they have Utah. Utah, what is it, 22% of winning? No, that's probably right. It's just those two.
I don't know. Maybe just
Cincinnati
one.
Cincinnati is right there, too. But it says
Cincinnati is right there, too, still in the mix.
Yeah.
One of the first team outs, Utah, like we said.
I think that's right, too.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe the Big Ten deserves four, but maybe it doesn't. And then moving on down, ACC right now is a one-bid league, Virginia.
Yeah.
They are the last team in, the only team in, first team out being Louisville. Miami has ruined its season. We talked about losing at the wrong time right here at the start of this.
The SMU
them losing lost. In November, man. It's what they do. Yeah. That's what Mario's teams do. And unfortunately, you're right back in the same boat. Georgia Tech also still in the mix, but they suffered a loss as well, so a different spot for them. Notre Dame's getting in.
Yep.
The USC win's a good one for them. It's probably their bet. They haven't played a great schedule, but they're going to get in. Being independent works for them.
Yes, it does. It's actually the opposite of what Brian Kelly said.
100%. And they're going to be just fine. And then there you get to the group of five.
I like this part.
Get to the group of five, and we'll read you what it says about your Memphis Tigers. But, of course, right now you're listed as the favorite, as the projected winner of the American this week. Memphis would earn a playoff spot as the committee's fifth highest-ranked conference champion. Mm. The Tigers' October 25th win against South Florida was critical in the league race, sure was. But the loss to 3-5 UAB is an ink stain on their resume that can be overcome with a conference title. All facts. Memphis has at least a 57% chance to win each of its remaining games, according to ESPN Analytics. Still in the mix, and keep in mind, for this spot, it's not just AAC teams, although I don't think James Madison and San Diego State will have much of a claim. It does feel like it's mostly these teams in the AAC that are going to have the chance, because South Florida, whether it's the non-conference resume or them winning the American title, you know, if they go on to do so, that's better than anything James Madison has done or San Diego State. And so they've got still in the mix. South Florida, and then I bring up that North Texas team. They've got them right here just because I think it confirms what we've said. Dude, you look at North Texas's remaining games, they're going to win out and finish 7-1.
Yep.
That's why you cannot afford a second loss and have South Florida potentially and North Texas sitting there with just one. That's your championship game.
Yep. No, there's no doubt about
it. So even if you beat Tulane this week, you keep it at one, but you lose to ECU the next week. You're sitting there at that two losses. Likely North Texas and South Florida still just have one. I'm writing off Navy. Because they just suffered their first loss. They've still got to play Notre Dame, and they get South Florida as well. And so Navy's got a tough road to hoe, as well as Memphis.
Yeah, I think Memphis is going to win out here. I really do. In the regular season, I feel really good about this.
I hope so. We've talked about the ECU game scares me, not just because it's one of those games, because their defense has been operating at a level you would call the best in the American. Mm-hmm. They are an experienced team at this point, and one that's certainly – I mean, they're reading all about you right now in this ESPN story just like we are. Looks at you as, man, that's our Super Bowl right there.
Right.
If you are ECU. And so having it in Greenville, huge, but we're not looking past, obviously, Friday night. So against Tulane. So anyway, we get our first look at it tonight, 7 o'clock, in terms of the first ranking from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. This is the committee that that our man Justin Fuente is advising,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what he told him? Make sure you got that Memphis team in. There's no way they're blowing that. I mean, it's pretty obvious right now who the sort of the front runner is for the group of five spot. I don't know. I don't have any problems with these last or first team outs. USC, though, still ranked, I think. Yeah. As far as the last I checked, though, and they've got them out. But I think overall I'm fine with this first ranking. We'll see how it turns out. ESPN's probably got a pretty good idea of how it will, considering it's the one broadcasting these tonight, and it's the one, Heather Denich, is the one that put this story together over at ESPN.com. So we'll see how it shakes out. I think eventually, you think Texas A&M spoils the old Alabama-Georgia SEC title game?
I think so. I think they're really good.
Dude, they have the best. They have certainly the highest paid roster in college football, it feels like.
But, and Texas Tech. I mean, both of I know they're different conferences, but like the money that's going into those two programs is paying off.
Texas A&M feels real, and they're getting the return on investment right now. So that one seems to be somebody that could spoil that old head party of Alabama, Georgia, because those two teams could very well be back in it. Ole Miss might play spoiler. You know, maybe Lane's got something up his sleeve. What I know right now is what this tells me clearly, and John's talked about it with and gone back and forth with Florida fans who want Lane Kiffin and everything else. With what he can do in the portal, with what Ole Miss is doing right now in terms of NIL, these transfer classes they're getting that are among the highest ranked in the country.
Yes.
Maybe at one time we thought you couldn't win a national championship at Ole Miss. Is that still the case? I don't think Lane believes
that.
No,
I think you can win
a
national championship there. Yes.
He's right there.
Yes. I will say, Gabe made a point yesterday about the SEC, which is the late wins making up for the bad losses at the beginning of the season in this college football playoff ranker. Because, and let me show you where I'm going with this, because you asked about Texas A&M and Texas. That's the finale on the 28th. Texas has Georgia on the 15th, so they have a bye week, and then they have Georgia. Then they have Arkansas. That's a dub. Georgia will be a tough one, but then they have the A&M game for
all
the
marbles.
Yeah,
that's why they're done. They got Georgia and A&M still. That's
they're
going to
lose
Texas
that game.
Is done.
I agree with that. But, I mean, it is within the realm of possibility because it's
still
at home.
They're in the mix.
It's like Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Like, that's going to be their giant Super Bowl for all the marbles on the 28th if somehow they can get past Georgia and Arkansas.
Yeah, they point out that the Longhorns get the boost of Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, Miami all losing. And
they got that Vandy at home. They beat them on their place.
As the first team out, according to ESPN, of the SEC squads there, they got that boost, but also because they earned another CFP Top 25 win, again, obviously in beating Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So they've put themselves in the spot where you say, we're
right
still
there.
In it.
Like
we
three
still
losses
sell it
still
every
doesn't
week.
Throw you out.
We're
you
still
know?
Right here. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens with the rest of it for Texas, but I think that schedule is going to prove too difficult.
I agree.
It's just been an up-and-down nature of their offense.
Yes.
Defense, solid.
Yep.
Offense been too up and down.
Well, and maybe Arch figured some stuff out, too, the quarterback.
Best he looked.
Yes.
Best he's looked.
Yes.
That confidence seemed to be there, and that is so critical, and it's going to have to be critical when you've got Georgia and A&M still on the schedule. We're going to talk about the Memphis football schedule, and more specifically, Friday night's game with the great Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian. We'll do that, checking in with Frank. It's Tuesday time with Frank Bonner on the Memphis Tigers football team. We'll do that when we get back. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN. Yeah, you know, I thought about this, Frank Bonner. I don't know if it's right that we bring you in, although I love it as a Memphis graduate, to the Memphis Fight Song when you are an Indiana man. And so for some, like we bring in, you know, Drew Hill, your colleague over the Daily Memphian, will play the Alabama Fight Song, right? But for you, we play the Fight Song of the team you covered, and that's not necessarily right of us, is it? As I look to maybe correct something, does that do anything for you?
I'll say.
Is this it?
Is
this the Hoosiers?
Yeah.
I'll
say this, though. You know, it's easier to do it for Drew because Drew covers the Grizzlies, and he's not a college football beat writer.
I see.
So when I come in here and I talk about the Hoosiers and everything, but you try to be impartial to the college football reporting. So I don't
mind.
Dude,
I remember that life.
Yeah, so you know how it goes.
I was a beat writer.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what we should do. He's just giving us let's give Frank some music.
Okay. Regular music?
And,
no, yeah.
Like, what's your vibe? If we were introducing Frank Bonner, right, at Memphis Madness, and you're walking out, what would be your theme music? What's the type of music that Frank Bonner, that, you know, that's his vibe?
It would probably depend on the mood that I'm in, right?
Okay.
But I mean, well,
you have joy. You're
you seem
out
like
here
a slow jams kind of dude.
Yes, or some Mad City, you know.
Okay.
You know, old Kendrick.
Old Kendrick.
Okay. Yeah.
I know some old Kendrick.
Yeah,
yep.
Old Kendrick.
Okay. I'm picking up on. Okay,
trying
to learn more about
some
J. Cole. Some old J. Cole.
Okay.
I've got J. Cole on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you know, Acid Rap, Chance the Rapper.
I'm noticing a big name missing that's on high on our list of our friend Anthony Sane. Doesn't sound like he's high on you, Drake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah,
you a Drake man? I'm sensing no.
I'm an older Drake. You know, I like Drake's music.
No, Sane goes too far.
Yeah, I mean, Drake makes good music. But I think that Drake thinks he's in a lane that he's not in as in terms of a rapper, like a lyricist, which, you know, but I mean, the music he makes is good.
Yeah, okay. Well, as we continue to learn more things about Frank Bonner, we're going to find you that theme music because you're right. We shouldn't force a college football fight song on you. You're in the business of covering this stuff objectively, and we don't need to put you know, team stuff on you. We want to give you some music. We want to give you a theme song. So we'll continue to work on that. For those that are not already, make sure you're following Frank on X over at Frank_Bonner to read his stuff over at DailyMemphian.com. All right. We got an absolute big one. You've come back from Houston in the Rice game under the weather. You going to be ready for Friday night?
Oh, I don't have a choice. You know, some allergies. I'll take me a...
Okay, this
know,
is allergies. I'll this is nothing that won't be right.
I'll just make sure first. Or whatever. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You've written a very important story. I don't do fake headlines like John does when he introduces you. I do real headlines, and you wrote something very important. Brendan Lewis looked good. Okay, I mean, we're obviously all monitoring his health at practice yesterday. Status-wise, in terms of this Memphis team health, Brendan Lewis being the first thing. All things look pretty good based on what we heard yesterday and so.
Yeah, right. I mean, based off of what Kramsey said, I mean, he said he had a good day of practice. And so we didn't hear that type of language after the UAB
after
game.
UAB.
And we saw how that played out.
That's why it felt important.
Yeah, right. And so to hear the OC say that, I think we can read between the lines and expect to see who's out there.
Because and I was reading, I didn't see, was he limping at the end? Like what to what degree did he get hurt? That,
okay, so
if your understanding in this one.
So here's the thing. So like he took the tackle, you know,
yeah.
And then like he did, you know, limp to the sideline, and then we didn't see him anymore. But Silverfield said that after that drive, he planned on pulling him anyway. And
okay.
So we truly don't know. Let's say the game was close and they needed Brendan to play.
Yep.
We don't know the answer to if he would have been able to return, right? We did see the limp, and so that's all we know is that, you know, he had a limp to the field, and then he was sidelined in the middle of the drive.
Right.
And so that's what you go off of. But, you know, from Kramsey's comments.
Yep. I've read your story and I put it to bed just in terms of worrying or being overly concerned about it. I'm hopeful of right to do that. Listen, you've got, you know, with this matchup, it feels like a loser goes home sort of matchup. You know, that sort of old wrestling matchup where you loser got to leave town because it would represent a second American loss. And if you're looking at South Florida, which just has the one, or North Texas, which just has the one loss. Two losses is going to put you in a spot.
Yeah.
Whether it's for Memphis or now for Tulane, which has suffered that first loss to UTSA. Does this not feel like an American playoff game in a way, in terms of the way you're framing it?
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at North Texas, you thought the one team that was left on their schedule that might be able to beat them was Navy.
Yep.
And we saw how that planned out.
That's right.
Now they've got
I had
got
it up.
UAB.
Temple was in there,
and
maybe?
Got,
am I making that up?
Yeah,
all very winnable.
UAB and Temple, or is UAB and Rice? Because South Florida has Rice. I think it's UAB and Temple, and then South Florida has Navy, Rice, and UTSA is what South Florida has.
Okay.
And you can fact check me on that, but I think that's right. And so, like, yeah, North Texas, I think we can go ahead and pencil them in for one loss.
It's at UAB, at Rice versus Temple for North Texas. That feels like three wins. I know
correct.
Those two are on the road at UAB, at Rice, but that's a 7-1, okay, team at the end of conference. You mentioned South Florida. It's at Navy, at U. Well, no, you mentioned it first. UTSA,
yeah.
But it's at home,
right.
Not Alamo
not,
Dome.
Yeah, because then that would
so they're unbeatable down there
yeah,
in the American.
That would be a problem.
Literally unbeatable in the American down at the Alamo Dome. They're UTSA at home, at Navy, at UAB versus Rice. So as long as they handle business against that Navy team on the road, that's a one loss team. Point being, you can't get two losses.
Right.
With you can't suffer a second loss.
Now we did see Tulane just lose the UTSA, but like you said, that was in San Antonio, which is a different type of deal for whatever reason. And so things can happen. That's why you play the games.
Right.
But realistically, you think you're looking at a one-loss North Texas, a one-loss South Florida, and Memphis would have the tiebreaker over South Florida. So if they win out.
I've loved these weeks and really drawn a lot out of it, asking you for your sort of eyeball tests on these top teams, South Florida being one of them. You and I were aligned on them. What we thought of them. Memphis, too. I'm curious on what you see with this Tulane team. My partner had a theory that, man, you'd rather be seeing them coming off of a win and maybe the antenna a little bit down. So coming off of a beating against UTSA where now their backs are against the wall, you're going to get them on high alert. Is that going to matter? Do you subscribe to that? And then, if with this Tulane team, are they a tier lower than maybe the South Florida Memphis teams that we like more? Or how would you sort of frame it?
I do believe that there is some stock in that, right? I mean, we saw it with Memphis, the way they came out against South Florida after, you know, losing to UAB. I think when your back is against the wall and you're in a do-or-die situation,
call. Yep.
You know,
we saw it for Memphis.
your coaching staff and John Summerall, I do think he's a good coach, can get the best out of their players in a situation like that, especially when you add in, you know, there's some rivalry tension between these two teams. Yeah. I mean, last year, Jonah Gamble, last year's offensive lineman, he had some comments. Ryan Silverfield last year said he hopes they lose every game. So, like, when you add in that also coming off a loss, I think you are going to get the best version of Tulane. Now, I do think that Memphis, if Memphis shows up the way they're supposed to, I do think they can beat the best version of Tulane. But, you know, Retzloff, he's going to be a – you know, he's not going to throw two picks like he did against UTSA
last week.
Yeah, right.
Ended up getting pulled, right? He'll be back in there this week, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it gives them their best chance to win in a game like this.
I think I don't think you make a switch for a full game in that situation. But one thing I am, and it may sound like nitpicking because Memphis has won these games, but the run game has taken a dip, and I do think that kudos to Brendan Lewis for showing his ability to be a passer when the run game takes a dip. But I would like to see that come back, against Tulane.
Have they used – is it Pisant? Pisant. It's not Peasant. It's
no,
Frank.
No, it's Frank Pisant.
Pisant, thank you. Yeah. Have they used him enough? It's I know he's sort of in goal line situations. He's been effective. But you tell me. I mean, DeWosier has talked about how banged up he's been at times. Seems like sometimes they're saving Sutton Smith. It just feels like with Frank, like there's a lot there. Status of run game in terms of health, because you're right, it feels like it's taking a dip. How prepared are all three of those guys for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Frank is tricky, right? He had the multiple touchdown game, and so, but it looked like they're using him in a similar way that they used Brandon Thomas. Remember him?
And, short yardage goal line.
Yeah, right.
Tough guy around, and that's where we're going to bring him in.
And so maybe. Maybe what he did last game creates more carries for him. We'll see. But you still expect for your top two guys in terms of usage to be a Sutton Smith and a Greg DeWosier.
This is what you've been hoping they'd be here for and saving them for in some way. I'm guessing games like this, right?
Yeah, right. But if there is some attrition in situations, having Frank is big because they aren't the biggest bodies. Right. And so when you get into those goal line situations, those third and ones, having a Frank does make a big difference for a Memphis team that, you know, you may not want to see Greg and Sutton, you know, have to have those tough yardage and put those bangs on their bodies, especially when, you know, Sutton's being used in a return game and things of that nature.
It seems like the ideal time to get it back into the dominant sort of form that it was because, I don't know, looking at this Tulane team, if there's something they're susceptible to, it looks like you can run the ball on them. They're not one of the better teams. That's funny. We'll get to talking about the ECU game next week. That defense is legit. Tulane's defense is not – I'll just put it, it's not as highly ranked as it usually is in the American. I wonder if this is not sort of the perfect setup for, you know, a defense not so good against run. Hey, man, that's what you guys got. And if that's the kind of game we're seeing, is that you're running it at them and taking advantage of what could be a weakness.
Yeah, you hope so, right? And some of those Tulane numbers, it's a dip from some of the, power conference teams they played and so on.
True.
But I think what you're seeing, whether it's Tulane or whoever, is they're looking at this Memphis offense and they're saying, hey, we can't let them beat us on the ground. And so I think there's some game planning going on to, like, force them to pass the ball.
Stack it up against them.
And credit, like I said, credit to Brendan Lewis. He's been able to find ways. And so I do think that Tulane will come with the game plan of trying to limit the run, just like some of the other teams have done. But – you saw, even with them trying to limit the run, Brendan Lewis was still able to run for 80-plus yards last week. And so I do think that having him back to where he's able to be the runner that we have seen him be will continue to open things up for some of the running backs.
What was the crowd like against South Florida? I think it was announced 30-something, but what was it like?
I thought it was decent, right?
Okay,
I thought some of the numbers, folks are like, was it legit? Was it? I thought the South Florida – number was
how do you think Friday night might compare? Now you're not coming off of a loss like UAB, where we had some Tigers fans that made that drive down to Alabama were mad. They're like, man, I'm out and all that. So I wonder, you know, maybe some of them didn't show for South Florida. They're just waiting to stay. But I wonder now with the position they're in, having beaten South Florida, a real professional win against Rice too, if you think that, and then knowing this is sort of like a playoff game, if you expect that atmosphere to be any more juiced up than the South Florida game, expecting the same thing. Just what are you sort of expecting atmosphere wise on a Friday night? It's 8 o'clock game. It's on ESPN.
Yeah, these late Friday games can be tough.
High school football is big in Memphis, and a lot of that can pull folks away as well.
Yeah, right.
Brett, so he'll be at some game.
I don't think it's going to be a bad crowd in any measure, right? But I don't know if it's going to be like, every seat is filled type of situation. I mean, I think the crowd will be good, but
it won't be conference championship game level. And
because it's a Friday night.
Because it's
right?
a Friday night.
And that's just my opinion on it. These Friday night, these late 8 o'clock Friday night, you're not necessarily bringing your 7 year old to an 8 p.m. game and thinking you're going to stay the whole time.
I hate that it's 8 like that, to your point.
Yeah,
you wait a little bit longer.
And then, the kids still have school that day. If you got, some kids you're trying to bring to the game. And I think that will limit the ceiling for the crowd. Mm-hmm. But I think the crowd still will because the people are back on the bandwagon, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have 3 games left and you're still controlling your own destiny. Like, if you are a Memphis fan, that's what you wanted. Obviously, you didn't want to see Memphis lose the UAB or whatever, but with 3 games left, you still wanted to be in the driver's seat of your own destiny, and you still have that ability to win your way into the conference championship.
Let me ask you, I'll throw a scenario at you. I'm curious what you think. Let's say Ryan Silverfield does it, man. He wins out. He's going to the conference championship game. Not just going, he actually wins it, and some of these schools are looking at him, whether it's in Arkansas or maybe Eli leaves Missouri, and you've got Laird Veach there who gave Ryan the contract that he's got at Memphis now, and maybe that happens. I'm not so curious about what you think Ryan would do in those spots, but curious about this job, the opening here. How attractive, having covered college football, over your career, knowing Power Four, knowing now Group of Five, how attractive is this Memphis opening should Ryan be catapulted to a job in terms of other coaches that would look at Memphis, see the investment level, see what Ryan's done? How attractive a gig at it? If you have an open Tulane, you got an open Memphis. How attractive is the Memphis job?
I think Memphis would be very attractive. Now, obviously, there are other power conference jobs that are open, but if we're talking about the group of five
and where
I think Memphis is extremely attractive. For one, if you're a coach, look at the coaches who previously coached at Memphis, because you're in this scenario, Ryan would have moved on to another job. Norvell, Fuente.
All moved to Power Four jobs.
All moved to Power Four search. So that's a plus.
Absolutely.
You look at the investment. Everybody saw the Big 12 proposal and what they were proposing to the Big 12. And so you see the money that Memphis is showing that it has the capability to have. The relationship with FedEx is still strong.
Yep.
You would assume that this job would be
would attract the best candidates, the one who can't get jobs to start out in Power Four. I mean, a lot of those guys, right? Whether it just seems like, maybe it's an SEC assistant that's not going to be able to go from defensive coordinator to Power Four head job, but could go to a Memphis, prove it, and then move up. I mean, much like a Mike Norvell did, coming in as a hotshot offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think it would be the top, if we're not talking about Power Five, it would be the top Group of Five for that reason, because of what program has the best track record of getting their previous coaches to those bigger jobs. Memphis's track record shows you that they can get you there if you perform well, and you're going to have the resources to perform well. And so, coaches, they believe they can be the guy to
absolutely
get teams over the hump.
All of them do.
Well, you will walk into Memphis feeling like you're set up to go get the guys you want.
That's right.
And to perform at the highest level. And everybody's talking about NIL and everything, and Memphis is showing that it is committed to trying to compete in those spaces.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Virginia Tech proved hard for Fuente. We're seeing how hard Florida State proved for Norvell. Do you think Silverfield, knowing him, covering him the way you have, moves the needle at a Missouri or an Arkansas? Those are hard jobs in a hard conference where – listen, you got to credit Eli what he's done in Missouri, but there's another whole tier or two to get to if you're Missouri. Does Ryan move the needle and improve those situations over time? Do you think he's a success in turning heads at in Arkansas or Missouri?
Well, I think it would be easier to, in terms of expectations, I think you would have more time to do it at Arkansas, because we see what Missouri is,
yeah,
what you're stepping into.
Right.
If you're stepping into Arkansas, you're not stepping into a program that is going to automatically have conference championship aspirations.
No.
Well, Missouri, they're going to expect you to keep that train rolling, yep, right? And the thing about Ryan, and I've come on here and said before in terms of his ability to recruit, you know, he's you take what he has in terms of the Memphis resources, yep, and the teams he's been able to put together.
It's one of his strengths.
Now you give, right, him SEC resources, and you think the recruiting will continue to be as it has been, and then you're just banking on the fact that he can put it together. But he's going to have longer time to put it together at Arkansas than he will at Missouri. I mean, we see – you remember after year three here at Memphis, folks were wondering if he was going to have a year four.
Yeah.
And then now look where he's done. And so I think the leash will be longer to take time to build at Arkansas than it would be Missouri.
I think I know the answer to this final question, but I want to confirm it with you. I was talking about it with Brad. If either one of those open or an opportunity like that, whether it's in Arkansas or Missouri, there is no turning it down if you're Ryan, right? Is it a strike while the iron's hot, or you know, if Ed brought an offer and maybe you feel like you can do this every year and maybe you feel like the coaching carousel will come back around. I don't know. These opportunities are so coveted. I'm just saying if one of those offers comes, you would expect Ryan to take it?
Well, I think if you're a Group of Five coach, and when you have, because this is with the assumption that Ryan has won the league and Memphis
is in
the playoffs.
Still, yes.
I think you have to capitalize on that moment, because you don't know how long it's going to take for you to get that again.
And we've seen five other years where you didn't make the conference championship. No, we love the level of investment, but we've seen years where he's not making it. And if you're not in that conference championship in the AAC, then you're not on those lists. So technically you could hurt your stock, right? Going back to your argument about striking while the iron's hot. If you came back and it ain't as hot, well, you ain't as hot a coaching candidate. Maybe those opportunities aren't as good.
But we've seen John Summerall turn down.
He's waited, I suppose.
Yeah, right? And so,
hey, is it going to cost him? It doesn't seem to. If you read all these coaching candidate lists, he's still on them. But this season hadn't been great either. Not yet, not to this point.
Yeah, but if you – and so here's the thing. Like, seasons obviously matter or whatever.
Yeah. He's got a bunch of SEC ties.
Too. If you are an AD and you think that guy is a good coach, mm-hmm, him not making it to the conference championship this season, you probably still think he's a good coach.
That seemed to be what they think, you know, about Summerall.
Yeah, I mean, right. So there are some coaches where getting to the conference championship, like a
is that Ryan?
Like a Ryan Silversfield, yeah, would obviously, you know, boost him. But I think some opinions about John Summerall, they are kind of already are what they are.
That's where I'm at. Everything I read, it's like it's already cemented, almost like this season doesn't matter. He's going to get one of these open SEC jobs is what it feels like when you're reading.
And one name I wonder, like, I mean, look at what Eric Morris has done with quarterbacks.
Mm.
And I'm not necessarily saying this coaching carousel or whatever, but he's the one who found Cam Ward first, right?
Yeah.
You look at what Chandler Morris is doing. You got Mestermaker throwing for 608 yards in one game, right?
Yeah, from the hip. It's crazy to watch.
Is somebody going
to
look at him and say,
interesting,
you know, is that a QB whisper? We'll see.
Yeah, you're putting something on me around. Yeah, you are. You're the best, man. Appreciate these Tuesday check-ins. Looking forward to your coverage of Friday. Make sure you're reading Frank over at DailyMemphian.com all the time, checking in daily like I do. Great to join us, brother. Appreciate you. We're going to wrap it up and get you handed off to Jeffrey Wright and company. You're listening to J&J.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
29 FM ESPN. Are you renting but dreaming of owning a home? Maybe you think you can't do it in this market? It all can start with a phone call. Sometimes, you know, you think you know something, you think the answer is no, and the answer is actually yes. But until you make the call, you can't know that the answer is actually yes. 901-625-5200 is that number. That's the number to Jennifer Carstensen and her hardworking, wonderful, talented team over at the Live Love Memphis Group. They can do it all, whether that's getting top dollar for your home. They've done it in every market, been super successful, or helping you find your dream home. Help me on both sides of that. Back in 2018, and I'm not exaggerating, it's not hyperbole when I say it changed our lives. Speaking of me and my wife, we're forever grateful to Jennifer for what she's done. She'll forever be family. If we ever sell again, it will certainly be Jennifer Carstensen and her team doing it. Give her a call. See what she can do for you. 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Big thanks to Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian and Jessica Benson from Grind City Media for today. Brad, a thank you to you as well.
Yeah.
You continue to be amazing.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say UNLV Memphis College basketball.
Yeah, it is basketball tonight. UT Martin playing UNLV, but teasing tomorrow's show, a special guest.
Yeah, hopefully Ed Scott in studio to talk about the big one on Friday, the athletic director over at Memphis 125 tomorrow. That is the plan. Make sure you join us. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.